The last testimony I'd like to share with you tonight, as an example of excellence, is Nicolae Moldovanu, a Romanian musician and martyr for Christ. In Psalm 1, we read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper." In communism, under communist oppression, behind the Iron Curtain, where people were shot in the back for the crime of trying to escape from their workers' paradise. 1989, I went with my new wife, Lenora, Bible smuggling with my parents-in-law, going to Romania. And here you could see immediately emperor worship. Ceausescu had 8,000 hymns of praise composed to sing. The children had to sing the praise of Ceausescu, the dictator, every day at school. Can you imagine? And the Marxist flags and the UN flags were flying at their May Day celebrations, and idols of Vladimir Lenin, the Red Star. Notice they're claiming all the countries for Marx, including India. That's not a communist country. Including, you can see, all kinds of countries that are plainly not Marxist, but there they are, claiming them. They've got the Spanish flag, they're not communist. Chile, Texas, Norway, Ireland. Plainly, you can see all over there's this design. There's a Danish flag behind there. We have a world to win, have. You can see it's a missionary religion. Communism wants to win the world for Marx, for atheism. And 1st of May, there's meant to be a Sino-Soviet split, but here you can see the Chinese flag, North Korean flag, the Hungarian, the Yugoslavian, the Czechoslovakian, Bulgarian, all together. It was a sham. There was no real split between communist China and the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact. They're all working together, actually. These people were persecuted for their faith. This is Emmanuel Baptist Church. Then it was called Second Baptist Church. You can see Lenora sitting right here to the lower right, next to her mother. Notice the women sit on one side of the church, men sit on the other. And nobody under 18 was allowed in the churches, but I think you can see a few people under 18 who were there. And it was standing room only. And people just wedged in. And there was still thousands of people outside as well. And this is just one service. And by the way, the people were gathering there full in the church for an hour before the service started, just praying and singing. Well, during this time of persecution, where the church was being hammered, they were gathering, they were worshipping. Bill Bethlen came through the Iron Curtain when their need was the greatest, during the darkest years, when it was the most dangerous, when few others seemed to care or dare. Bill Bethlen was there for them. The Reverend Bill Bethlen was an extraordinary evangelist who ministered in 114 countries throughout his long, productive 67 years in missions. And during one of our missions to Eastern Europe, Bill Bethlen introduced me to Nicolae Moldovanu, an extraordinary Christian hymn writer. He composed many hundreds of hymns while being tortured by the communists in Romania. Nicolae Moldovanu is called the Johann Sebastian Bach of Romania. In his lifetime, he composed more than 6,000 hymns, hundreds of those while suffering excruciating torture in the communist prison system. Without access to any Bible or any books, without any musical instruments, without pen or paper, Moldovanu determined to compose hymns of praise to God and commit them to his memory to later be put down on paper when he was finally released from prison. Richard Vonbrand testified that Moldovanu was one of the greatest saints I met in my 14 years in prison. He came smiling from the torture room. His approach was like that of a lamb. While I myself was protesting against the God's abuses, against others or myself, he never protested. Indeed, the steadfast faith of Nicolae Moldovanu and his resistance to atheist indoctrination and communist torture came through composing and singing great hymns of the faith. Most of the hymns that are sung today in the Evangelical Church in Romania are Nicolae Moldovanu's compositions. Everyone in Romania knows Moldovano's hymns. Nicola Moldovano was born on the 3rd of February, 1922, to a very poor family. He lost his father by age 3, and his only opportunity for education came from enlisting in the military program called the Army's Children. So from age 12, he was enlisted in the Army. And these destitute children lived on a military basis to serve the soldiers, polish their boots, do their washing, iron, whatever had to be done. They were basically servants to the soldiers, and they got fed and housed and clothed as a result. Due to his love for music, Nicola Moldovano was soon enrolled in the military brass ensemble, and the band director recognized his extraordinary talents and helped him develop his musical abilities. Nicola wrote, "I'm now seeing God's hand in everything that has happened to me." He soon joined the Lord's Army. This is the Reformed branch of the Orthodox Church, which emphasized the need to be born again, repentance, and having a personal relationship with Christ. We know that the Orthodox Church can be very formal and ritualistic, but there's a very strong evangelical wing, and in Romania it was called the Lord's Army. Something like the Salvation Army in a sense, except it stayed within the church. Soon after joining the Lord's Army, Moldovano experienced the conversion to Christ, began to publish musical compositions called Village Light. Nicola Moldovano was involved throughout the Second World War in the Romanian Army. He survived the Second World War. He enriched the lives of fellow soldiers with great hymns of the faith. During the war, for a whole month, he sold his daily rations of milk and bread in order to buy his first Bible. So a lot of people have had to sacrifice a lot to be able to afford to buy a Bible. Well, the Second World War ended with the great betrayal of Yalta and the betrayal of the whole of Central Europe, what we then called Eastern Europe, but it's really Central Europe, into the hands of the Soviet Union, betraying 150 million Christians behind the Iron Curtain. And Romania was part of those captive nations. And the Soviet Union liberated these countries, although the local people had called occupied. That's a nice neutral word. It's hardly liberated, but it's seriously invaded and oppressed. And this dominated the people's lives for the next 44 years. In 1948, the communist regime of Romania declared the Lord's Army illegal and arrested all its leaders. Do you know that that's something like what's being done right now in Ukraine? The world's darling, the great hero, the Churchill of our time, Zelensky of Ukraine, has declared the Ukrainian Orthodox Church illegal and to be closed down, and soldiers to go in and arrest the pastors and throw them in jail. Now, this is not the Russian Orthodox Church. This is the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, who, by the way, condemned Russia's invasion, but because they are not the kind of religion that Zelensky's happy with, he's ordered a major, huge denomination, one of the biggest denominations in Ukraine, illegal. And just like that, Ukraine Orthodox Church is now illegal in Ukraine by this Democrat who has banned opposition parties and locked up opposition leaders and locked up other journalists and banned all journalistic outlets except his own government propaganda. And that's a democracy the world is giving hundreds of billions to. So if you think of what the communists did back in 1948, banning the most evangelical branch of the Orthodox Church, well, we're seeing it happening in our time right now, this week, happening in Ukraine. Nicola Moldovano continued to worship in secret, but in 1959, he was arrested and sent to 12 years in prison. What was his crime? Being a believer and a member of the Lord's Army, which was an evangelical wing of the Orthodox Church. Notice the propaganda picture that within these Christian sheep is a wolf. And so this is a Romanian propaganda post against the Christians. You must always be vigilant against these wolves pretending to be religious. On the day of his arrest, Nicola whispered to his wife, Lena, "Look at the skies. It'll be the only thing we can share while we are separated." For many months, Nicola was not able to see the sky as he was being incarcerated in an underground cell. When he was later moved into a cell that was above ground, it had a broken window. But in spite of the bitter cold of winter, he rejoiced that he could share the view of the same sky with his wife, Lena, far away. And by the way, these are the actual stairs, the actual prison, because these corridors, you know, this prison was brought up by Richard Wurmbrand's Voice of the Martyrs ministry after the overthrow of Ceausescu after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain collapsed. His mission went in and bought up the prison where they'd been tortured, bought up the old Securitate printing press and started to print Bibles in the very cells where they were tortured, on the avenue of the victory of socialism. How's that for the Lord's sense of humor? In prison, Nicolae Moldovanu's best friends were Trian Doris, a prolific Christian poet in Romania, and he is also from the Lord's Army, and Richard Wurmbrand, who had become the author of Tortured for Christ and the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs ministry. Both Richard Wurmbrand and Nicolae Moldovanu praised each other for how their encouragement and ministry helped sustain them through excruciating torture. For more than 62 years, God enriched the faith of Romanian Christians through the uncompromising Christian testimony, courage, and steadfastness of Nicolae Moldovanu, and a rich treasury of over 6,000 hymns he gave to the church. What kind of mental discipline to compose hymns without pen and paper, musical instruments, Bible or books, and keep it in your memory adequately after all that torture to download onto paper later. Hundreds of them came from his time in solitary confinement and torture. I mean, that kind of mental discipline, it's extraordinary. I mean, we barely know how to even begin with something like that. We're so used to having tools to record our thoughts, and you know, the weakest ink is stronger than the strongest memory, and so on. He stood fast during 45 years of Romania's darkest years under communist persecution. This is the cupboard where they would be put in, where you'd be forced to stand for days. Of course, every time you start to doze off or lose consciousness, you'd stab yourself against these needles, nails from every side. Excruciating torture. Even when the communists broke the bones in his fingers, just out of malice, because he's such a great pianist and organist, they took a hammer and smashed every finger in both his hands. To shake his hands is like shaking hands with eagle's talons, mangled, distorted. He relearned to play the piano afterwards because now his fingers weren't exactly where they had been before. Can you imagine? One of Nicolae's compositions was entitled Break My Will Even With Heavy Blows. Other titles of Moldovanu's hymns include Only Grace, If We Gather Together in the Lord, Don't Doubt But Believe, Teach Me to Do Your Will, I Sing to You, My God, and Break My Plans. Richard Wurmbrand speaks about one time they had brought Nicolae Moldovanu and forced him to lie in his thin prison outfit on the cold cement. This is where there's ice on the walls and it's freezing cold winter. And while they beat him on the ground. And after the torture, he said, can I share with you the hymn that God gave me while I was lying there? And they're just so stunned. And he sings this incredible hymn. And they're just punishing him for singing hymns. So he invites it again. And so Richard Wurmbrand says, please take him and torture him again if this can produce such wonderful music to the honor of God. And the prison guard just gave up and walked away. And these are the sorts of things that, how can you beat people like that? Now, the wife of Romanian pastor Richard Wurmbrand, Sabrina Wurmbrand, testified that before she went to prison, she was very poor. But once she went to prison, she became very rich. This is because she is poor in the things of this world, but she is rich in the things of God. When she came to prison, she had the only currency that was of any value. She had the Word of God stored up in her memory. And she had memorized so much of the Word of God in her heart and mind that in prison she's able to make many people rich with the riches of God. After years, 5 years in a slave labor camp, she was a slave digging out canals and then pulling like an ox with ropes the barges along these canals. Icy, freezing conditions. Her crime being the wife of a Lutheran pastor. After years in the slave labor camp, she was finally released, and sometime later, a man came to her claiming to have been in prison with her husband, Richard, and having a message from him to share with the congregation. Well, knowing how the communist state sought to infiltrate congregations by infiltrating spies and blackmailing members into being informers, Sabrina was cautious. Before we go any further, would you lead us in prayer, she asked, and she bowed her head. There was an awkward silence, and the man who claimed to have messed with her husband stuttered and stammered. And Sabrina Wurmbrand looked up at him in the face and said, there now, Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Wouldn't you like me to explain to you how you can become a real Christian? Now, these are the kind of people that the Bethrens met behind the Iron Curtain. Lenora said it was a joy to have people like Sabina Vormbrandt around the dining room table in their home in Gruskamine in Austria. I remember as I came out the army, went back to Hospital Christian Fellowship, Brother Andrew told us of the 7-year Jericho prayer march, which Christians in Eastern Europe are launching, the Leipzig prayer meeting. They come with torches and they light them. One person lights one and they share it. And after a while, you've got this growing sea of light. And the theme was, light is more powerful than darkness. Not all the darkness can put out a single candle. Truth is more powerful than error. Christianity will defeat communism. And the people would go home, switch off all the lights, and just put a candle in an open window, curtains pulled back, and you'd see all these dark houses with just a single candle in there. It was testifying to the fact that supporters of light are increasing throughout. And this kept growing. And so I was informed of this at the end of 1981, that they were starting this 7-year Jericho prayer march in 1982, praying for 7 years prayer focus for the Lord to bring down the Iron Curtain, collapse the Berlin Wall, open up the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe to the gospel. Sounded like a bridge too far to me. But what happened? 1989, the Berlin Wall collapsed, the Iron Curtain collapsed. People rose up. Not anyone in the West, no governments. This was done by the people on the ground. Soviet Union collapsed. Unity between East and West Germany and East and West Berlin. Czechoslovakia, Romania, resistance. People make a stand. They cut out the hated communist symbols from the center of the Romanian flag, and the army joined the people in the streets fighting against the government to bring freedom to Romania. You can see civilians and military working together, fighting the secret police. The Christmas Revolution, 1989. The soldiers have the white ribbon around their wrist showing we for the people we're fighting the communists. Thousands of idols of Lenin and Stalin and Marx were toppled. Dzerzhinsky statues came down. As far afield as Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, they came down. Christians in Romania are still singing the hymns God gave Nicolae Moldovanu while in prison 60 years ago. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?